And she was writing her article in 1989, opening up a critique of the rights-based activacy that the rights-based advocacy that has been so kind of prevalent in the activist world, as well as a critique of feminist advocacy and anti-racist advocacy that was blind to the multiple axes of power and the ways in which they intersect, heightening the violence and disenfranchisement that gendered, raced, classed minorities face, while at the same time working to make those who face these multiple burdens invisible when work or rights work only understands discrimination along one of the axes. So what does this look like in our communities? For Romani and traveler women, it means often facing the expectation of double and triple work days, caring for the family, taking care of the home, and bringing income into the household. It means invisibility, marginalization, and precarity of women, of members of our community who are gender non-binary or identify as LGBT, of those with disabilities, of those who are migrants, of children. All of us, actually, because when you deny one, you deny all. Each and every one of us in the Romani and traveler community have our stories. We have our strengths. We carry within us the everyday violences that are carried out against us and the structural oppressions that we face. Our job is to take an intersectional approach to human rights, to really work through and push back against those invisibilities, those invisibilizations, the absences, the things that don't get talked about. One that is at once comprehensive and strategic. And it also means shifting the burden of proof. While in theory it's the state's responsibility to uphold rights and to uphold human rights regimes in particular, in fact, often the burden of proof and the burden of enforcement lies upon those who are subject to violence. The burden tends to lie upon us, upon we ourselves. The most marginalized, who then get scapegoated and in the end blamed for the violence that they face. One more burden then upon those who are multiply burdened by intersecting axes of oppression is that of providing evidence and advocating for the law, for authorities, for the state to take up the rights claims to which they should be subject anyway. In my earlier work, I talk about this question of living proof, right? The need to provide living proof. And the ways in which the provision of living proof is itself both a possibility and opening, right? A way of perhaps having us understand one another. But it's also a burden. So if a person provides living proof of her existence, the question is, does that become the precursor, the precondition to claiming rights? Living proof in this instance is what I'm calling the offering of life stories, of subjectivities, of bodily materialities, of the injuries that have been done to us, of the possibilities that we may have, and practices by women, by everyone, as acts of courage and political claim staking. By thinking about what providing living proof means, the burden it causes, but also perhaps the possibility it opens, I think we can pay closer attention to the kinds of negotiations and the kinds of political activism that people carry out in their everyday lives that we don't often recognize as such. We can also think about it as testimony, right, as what it is to bear witness to one's life. And it's through this offering of living proof as a political act, through testimony, through advocacy, through bearing witness, and in the classic feminist formation of making the personal political, that travelers and Roma, that Romani and traveler women, have been able to make ourselves visible as rights-bearing subjects, as members of the community, and as human. Because just as on the one side of human rights, the Romani and traveler communities, not just in Ireland, but across the world, have been denied rights. It also goes, the other side is also part of that formulation. We've also been denied, more often than not, the position of the human. I want to say that kind of denial is something that we've been struggling against for decades, for centuries. Our claim staking to rights, to humanity, to visibility is one more way of marking our existence. My existence as a Romni, as a Romani woman, as a feminist, our existence as Roma and travelers, our existence as communities and as people, as families who have been subject to discrimination and to racism, and our existence as people who have persevered across centuries. It is a witness to our presence, it's proof of our existence, and it's also a claiming of our precarity, our always precarious place in the world. A sign of strength and possibility. But as I said earlier, it's also an added burden. A burden that's part of a rice regime where often traveler and Romani communities have to stake our claims on both sides. Right? We struggle, as I said, to be recognized as human. And then we struggle for our rights to be recognized and defended by the state. Because as we know, the violence we face wherever we are in the world is marked at the same time by this deep and pervasive dehumanization. And so the only counter to this dehumanization is to actively stake claim to this category, to stake claims on the state, right, which is what we're doing today. We're calling the state to account because it's the state's job to defend our rights. Even in the current moment, right, where I have to go home to President Trump. We have to cross Europe, right? And we've got increased hatred. We've got increased nationalism. And therefore, the work that we're doing it becomes ever more urgent.